All right, we are live on Facebook. We are live here at Deliverance Temple Ministries, 2101 West Chestnut Expressway, here in the beautiful, although a little cloudy, Queen City of the Ozarks today. We're happy to be here. I am always happy. And that's something that I'm glad I can say and be truthful about it. You know, we don't want to lie, period. But you certainly don't want to lie about things like whether you're happy to be here or not. And I am happy to be here. I am always happy to be in the house of God, amongst the people of God. Good morning to you all here in the auditorium, and saints are coming in. Good morning, Sister Roz. Good morning, Deacon Barry. Good morning, Dr. Elisa. Good morning, Sister Sonia. Good morning to you all. You're coming in this morning. Good to have you with us here for Transformation Hour. I'm going to get my trusty sidekick going here, my little audio device, to make sure that we've got everything captured, just in case there's a little hiccup with Facebook, which from time to time we do have. So once again, good morning to everybody. Glad to have you here. Glad to be here. Good morning, Sister Linda. Good to see you, ma'am. Folks are coming in on Facebook, and folks are here in the auditorium, Bishop and First Lady, on their post right here on the front row. I can't tell you how delighted I am to see them each week, that they are still pressing on in the midst of a pandemic. They have every right and reason to just skip out, and nobody would be, angry or misunderstand that. They are both octogenarians, but they are right here each and every Sunday, and it's a blessing. First Lady, as many of you know, First Lady helps me teach. She is ready with a word and ready with a scripture and finishes my sentences for me sometimes. So it's a good thing. I love it. I love it. Absolutely do. So this month of December, this is the first Sunday in the month of December. This month we're going to do something that I think is, you know, appropriate for the season, as it were, but that's not just why we're doing it. I like to think that we're doing any of the subjects that we teach at the instruction of the Lord. Good morning, Sister Janice. Good to see you. Brother Spilker from way up north in Michigan. Good to see you, sir. Hope that you're staying warm up there. Well, we want to start a series this month that you on Facebook have already seen the title, of course, and I'll announce to the rest of us. I'm calling it the not so secret secret of joy. The not so secret secret of joy. We know a little something about joy, I hope, and as people of God, we are to be in the kingdom that is comprised of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Is that right? That's Romans 14:17, if you need a reference there. Paul tells us that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. You know, it's not the natural or the material things that, you know, that we have or desire. It's not about that. Ultimately, he says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so I find it interesting that, of those three, joy right in there. So it's not a matter of just, God has declared us righteous through the blood of his son. That's first of all, that's the key, that's the door in. And because we have been declared righteous, we have peace through God. We have peace with God. But it's that last part that just really gets me sometimes when I think about it, when I read it. And one can argue, and I've done a series before, it's been a couple of years ago that I did a series called What's the Point? And the point that I was making there, the answer to that question, the point is joy. And so I want to revisit some of that material and some of the scriptures that we use there as well as we look today at this not-so-secret secret of joy. Because sometimes the thing that is right in front of you is the thing that you are overlooking. Let me say again, sometimes it's the thing that's right in front of you that you're overlooking. And so, you know, we want to start right off this morning. Good morning, Sister Chris Coker. Good to see you, ma'am. It's important for us to understand that God has given us all kinds of tools, all kinds of benefits and bonuses as children of God, as people of the kingdom, as citizens of the kingdom of God. But how many of you understand that if you don't use what he's given you, then you're pretty much, you know, like everybody else out here, struggling along, trying to make it, trying to figure it out on your own. And how many of you know, I do know for sure, that doesn't work very well. Good morning, Minister Rogers. Good to see you, ma'am. It doesn't work very well. You know, I might think some days I'm pretty smart, but I'm not smart enough to figure out all the stuff that life can throw at me. And some of you understand and can testify that 2020 has been a year that has thrown more than its fair share, we might say, of curves at us. We had not seen some of the things that have gone on in 2020 ever before. Some folks talk about the great pandemic of 1918, but I know none of the people on this call, on this broadcast, none of the people even sitting in the auditorium, not even Bishop and First Lady, were around in 1918. And so this is an unprecedented situation for most folks on the planet. We ain't been here before. And I remember reading a course in the Old Testament where Joshua is giving instructions to the children of Israel as they're about to cross over. Oh, I feel a little joy thinking about that right there. Crossing over. And he says to them, pay attention, follow instructions here that the Lord has given. Why? Because you've not been this way before. You've not been this way before. You haven't seen this stretch of road here. This is new territory. And so when we get into a new situation, sometimes we are we're confused, we're overwhelmed. 2020 has been one of those years that has been, for many people, overwhelming. Walking around all masked up. Used to be, you know, if you went into the bank with a mask on, man, the security guard was right on you. Now everybody at the bank got a mask on. So that's different. They want you to have a mask on now when you go in the grocery store or the gas station or wherever it is that you're going out into a public place. And while we have, you know, had flu seasons that have been pretty bad at times here and there, and people have advised you, mask up to keep from getting or spreading flu. It wasn't everybody. And so my simple point is that, you know, we've not been here before. This is uncharted territory. It's unprecedented territory. Good morning to my lovely wife, Nina's on today. Praise God. And so I want to help us out this month by turning our attention to what arguably is one of the greatest weapons against overwhelm that we have in our arsenal as children of God. It is not only a weapon, but it is, as Paul describes it anyway, one-third of the kingdom. He says it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. And so joy is one of those very important components, or should be, I would say, of our Christian life and experience. However, yep, I had to drop that however up in there. However, oftentimes, we don't seem at least to be experiencing joy on that level or of that frequency that would really give us the advantage in life. And so we find ourselves, although joy is available, I want to say that right at the outset, joy is available to us, and joy is part of the kingdom that we have been brought into. Very oftentimes, we fail or ignore the importance of it, and we so easily let it slip when trouble or anxiety or adverse situations occur in our life. Listen, let me help you out. I don't know if you 12 or 20 or 90, but let me help you out right now and let you know that even Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have some problems. You're going to have some challenges. You're going to have some tribulations. You're going to have some rough spots on the journey. Not everything is going to be smooth sailing all the time. And so with that knowledge, I mean, armed with that awareness, you should have a leg up on situations when they occur, because you know, oh yeah, this was going to happen. So, you know, we knew some stuff was going to happen somewhere. It wasn't all going to be easy. But when you allow those things then to overwhelm you, because you're not availing yourself of all that God has given you and made available to you, then you find yourself in a really bad spot. You find yourself just like everybody else. You know, when Superman get close to some kryptonite, he becomes just like everybody else. His powers are drained. And sometimes we seem to be, you know, like Brother Superman there, when a problem comes along and we just fall over. We're like, oh, I'm so weak, I can't deal with this. Now listen, lest you think I'm making fun of your situation, I'm right there with you. Stuff hits me blindsided, stuff I hadn't counted on, stuff that I had counted on that didn't work out. Jesus was very much acquainted with disappointment. And a careful reading of the Gospels will show you that some of that disappointment came from the folks that was closest to him. That's another subject for another day. I'm not even going to go there. I'm not going to mess with your friends and family today. But I am going to tell you that disappointments are part of life. So this not so secret secret of joy that is right out here in front of our faces, it's front and center as Paul in Romans there describes the kingdom of God. He said, oh yeah, it's righteousness. Well, praise God for that. I'm thanking God I'm righteous before him through the blood of Jesus. It's peace. Oh, thank God for peace. Yes. Which is another thing that we oftentimes let slip so easily. And sometimes we don't even get to joy in the Holy Ghost. We don't get to joy because by the time we get through that first, second, and third problem, we're done. We're ready to throw in the towel. We're ready to cash in our chips. And so when I look at situations like we're in right now, even here at Deliverance Temple, where on a given Sunday right now, we probably, on a good day, we may have 40 or 50 people come to a Sunday morning service. Now, others are able to listen to the audio on our website, and that's good. We're trying to make the services accessible to everyone as best we can. But my point is that this situation for us and for thousands of other congregations is very, very different. And it is not a way that we are used to conducting things. It seems like in some respects, even though we are in this beautiful building, it seems in some respects like we're back on the corner of Sherman and Division. Just with a lot more space, but about the same number of folks showing up. And I mentioned that just to tell you that the challenges for folks who are used to gathering, the challenges emotionally, spiritually, are huge when your way of life, the way of our normal Christian life, if you will, has been disrupted. So my brother, who pastors a church in just outside of Memphis, Tennessee, has had to issue a closure order once again. They were attending, but now have had to, as of this morning, close down again from meeting in person, as several of his congregants have contracted coronavirus. And, you know, those stories are all across the land, from big churches to little churches. We've been put, in fact, on kind of some common ground. When you find the churches that normally have 5,000 or 10,000 people on a weekend, and it's just the pastor and his wife or, you know, family there and a couple of cameramen, and they're doing what we're doing here. We got more people actually at Deliverance Temple than some of those big churches do. They're all at home. What do you do with that? What do you do when your whole way of life has been so disrupted? God help the parents of school-age children. That's been a real challenge. Some of them trying to learn virtually at home, and mom and dad have had to become superintendent, tech advisor, counselor, social studies teacher. And can I tell you, unfortunately, a lot of that really isn't going very well. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to your nerves. It's a challenge to, some parents might say, it's a challenge to your very sanity. Okay? And then for the ones that are sending their kids to school, they're wondering if they're coming back with coronavirus every day. And so we are in a situation right now, even though there is light at the end of the tunnel. We have had the news recently that several of the manufacturers of vaccines have shown some promise there. Good morning, Sister Patricia. Even with that, you know, you still got this overwhelm in your mind, and you got lots of folks out here who say, vaccine or not, I'm not taking no vaccine. Okay, so you got those. You got the folks who can't wait for a vaccine. And unfortunately, you have well over 250,000 people in this country alone for whom it's too late because they've already passed away. You can't go to the grocery store, the service station. You can't go anywhere without masking up. And then you're looking at somebody who doesn't have a mask, and you're looking at them crazy, and they're looking at you crazy, and tensions have run high. Arguments, fist fights. And, did I mention? Did I mention Christmas is just a few weeks away? And with all of that, the kingdom of God is still righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom doesn't change because situations out here in the world have changed. And I want you to understand that same stability is available for us as believers because we are citizens of the kingdom of God. Now, in particular, this month, I want to give you some foundation, as it were, on this not-so-secret of joy, because I believe that right now, perhaps more than ever, we need to embrace and access the joy of the Lord. We are told, and I'll throw out some familiar scriptures to you, and maybe we'll look at some that aren't so familiar this month as well. But we recall, I recall, maybe you'll recall if you go read it, over in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, where things had gone really bad for the people of God. And the walls around Jerusalem had been broken down. It was a situation that saddened Nehemiah. And he was the cupbearer for the king, the foreign king that had oversight and rule over the people of Israel at the time. Now, if you're the cupbearer, you're bringing the king's wine to him. The king want to see a smile on your face when you're bringing him his wine. He might have you taste it first if you come in there frowning too much. Make sure that this is okay. And he noticed that Nehemiah, you know, wasn't happy. He was downcast. And he said, "What's going on with you? There's no joy in your face. I'm not seeing the happiness that you usually show up with." What is wrong? And so he told him about the situation. The king said, look, I'll help you out. Go on, take off, here's some money, make it happen. Rebuild the wall. And so God made a way for Nehemiah to set aright that which was so wrong and that it caused him so much consternation and sorrow. Can I tell you right there that sorrow and grief and anxiety are real? I don't want you to think for a moment as I talk about joy this month that I'm ignoring or overlooking or dismissing those very real elements of the human condition. But I do want you to understand that God is concerned and has already set in place remedy for us. Let me help somebody real quick, too. Maybe just me. When you're in that situation of where you're experiencing sorrow or grief or depression or loneliness or anxiety, first of all, realize, yeah, this is a human emotion I'm feeling. God knows about this. And I shouldn't be surprised either that these things do come. Here's the question, though, and the challenge for you. How long are you going to stay there? How long are you going to entertain sorrow and depression? How long will grief be your constant companion? Again, I'm not dismissing your pain or your situation. But if you're still there 10 years later, that's a problem. If you're still weighted down by all those things day in and day out, this is your constant meal is tears. That's a problem. That is not exemplary of the kingdom that you say you're a part of. Oh, let me say that one more time. If you're a kingdom citizen, you should show some sign that you're a kingdom citizen. I shouldn't find you depressed and angry and down and grief-stricken and sorrowful all the time. Oh, it's quiet now. You should come up out of that at some point. And I'm going to tell you that it should be sooner than later. Yes, I'm familiar with the Kubler-Ross matrix on grief. Got a degree in psychology. We had to read that one. We had to learn about it. And one of the things that we are taught there is that there are stages to grief and that you can go this direction and then back in that direction and nobody can tell you exactly how long you should be in this process. I get all of that. And to a large extent and degree, I would agree with that. However, I want you to understand. Good morning, Sister Carrie. I want you to understand. Good morning, Pastor. Good to see you, Pastor Carol. I want you to understand that for the people of God, although, yeah, we're human, I want you to understand there should be a difference for us We got a little something more going on for us than the average bear. And we run into prolonged problems sometimes because we allow ourselves to think about ourselves just like everybody else. Well, everybody going through. Well, everybody having these problems. Everybody having these issues. Well, you know, I had a friend and her cousin died and she's, that was 10 years ago. She still talk about it every day. And I understand because I've been going through what I've been going through for 4 or 5 years too. Every day I've been, wait a minute. Hold up. I know I'm stepping on somebody's toes right there, and you can turn me off. That's okay. But there's a difference. Even in the loss of a loved one, and we've seen a lot of that this year of 2020. Well over 250,000 people that have passed on from COVID alone, not to mention all the other sources of death. And there are those of us who hold dear the memories of those who have passed on, maybe years ago. My father passed away in 1985. I think about him often. But the joy of the Lord within me is such that the healing and deliverance from sorrow attached to that is gone. Do I miss him? Sure, even all these years later. But even more than that, I remember the joyful times, the good memories, the things he would do, the funny things he might say. And so, there's nothing wrong with carrying the memories of that loved one for the rest of your life. I'm going to think about my daddy for the rest of my life. Love him. But I'm not going to go around every day, oh, my dad is gone. What am I going to do? Bro, it's been 35 years. Yeah, but you just don't know. We were close and I... I can tell you if my father were to just show up here on the platform and hear me talking about that, he'd be like, snap out of it. Get over it. Move on. Got things to do. The Lord has a call on your life. I'm hoping this morning, maybe it's a little dry for you. You'll be all right, though. That's right, Sister Renee. Don't get stuck there, she says. That's exactly right. My friend, Mr. Felix Anderson, he's got a lot of sayings, but one that I like in particular, he said, the past is to be a point of reference, not a point of residence. Let me drop that on you again. The past is to be a point of reference. I can look back, remember, but not a point of residence. I'm not going to live there. I need to come on into the now and do what God is calling for me to do. Be who God has created me to be. Absolutely. My God, man, Pastor Marshall would say. How long are you going to be there? How long are you going to stay there? This is one of my issues. This is one of my, I'm going to give you this. This is just Mark, this Mark, 1:1, not even the gospel. This is just me. One of my hangups with news, especially nowadays, we have 24-hour news. Oh, my God, help us. And some of us bear about 20 hours a day trying to watch it. And they tell the same thing that they told yesterday. Just a little different spin, a little additional nonsense to it. Over and over and over again. And it's easy if you are consuming that on a regular basis to get stuck right there in that news cycle. Forget about what God has called you to do, who you're supposed to be showing up as today. I'm off here trying to see what they're doing in Washington or in Georgia or wherever. Can I tell you that you can miss out on your life watching other folks' lives? The psalmist said, my feet almost slipped watching somebody else. Comparison is of the devil. I'm going to tell you right now. You are you. You're not somebody else. And God has a plan for your life. And as a citizen of the kingdom, that plan involves joy. I've digressed. Let me get back to Nehemiah for a quick second. So they go and they begin working and they rebuild the wall. And just skip to the point, verse 10 of chapter 8 of Nehemiah, you find this phrase, and we repeat it often, just generally we quote it, but here's some context for it. And the saying is there that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength when stuff goes sideways. The joy of the Lord is your strength when the unexpected happens. The joy of the Lord is your strength when the unprecedented reveals itself. The Bible warns us about being afraid of sudden fear. Because things have come out of nowhere, it seems. Stuff you hadn't expected or planned on, stuff you didn't count on, stuff you don't seem to have an answer for, real quick. But just as quick, the joy of the Lord can be your strength. People wonder why you're not affected the same way they are by the same situation. Oh, Lord, I ain't going to go over there. I was going to say, you know, my wife and I, in running the business that she owns, we have some ups and downs and sideways. Have a lot of them the last couple of years. And we sure hadn't planned on COVID. That has been more than a little bit of a challenge for us. And with those challenges, and I speak to all you business people out there, with those challenges, if you are a believer, a citizen of the kingdom, it's vitally important that you remember and understand that the joy of the Lord is your strength and that the joy of the Lord is available to you, even in the midst of the chaotic stuff you're going through. Listen, if you don't get a hold of that truth, it's not going to be good for you. Can I tell you what I know to be true also, that, and this isn't talked about necessarily so much in the news, but many people have chosen to opt out completely. I'm talking about suicide. Because they were just overwhelmed with the possibilities of evil, bad things happening, They had to shut down the business. They lost their job. COVID all around. Am I next? And they took a permanent way out of a temporary situation. Watch out for that. When you do not avail yourself of the joy of the Lord that is yours, you will be overwhelmed by the emotional and irrational. The enemy of your soul and mind deals in the emotional and the irrational. Let me just say right there real quick that although joy can be experienced and should be experienced even as a feeling, it's way more than a feeling. It's way more than an emotion. The joy of the Lord, Nehemiah said, is our strength. So I want you to understand that, yeah, we're going through. We're dealing with some stuff in this country and around the world. But the people of God who know their God, as Daniel says, chapter 11, verse 32, the people who know their God will grow strong and do exploits. This is a time for moving forward, not for pulling back. But you'll only be able to do that as you embrace the joy of the Lord as your strength. Listen, don't be upset about the fact that other people don't understand. Don't be upset about the fact that, you know, they're like, why are you so happy? Can I tell you, people are something, aren't they? People will try. You ever had anybody try to make you feel guilty about being happy? They try to make you feel guilty because the joy of the Lord is your strength, and you are embracing that and experiencing that and walking that thing out. And they're like, what's wrong with you? Don't you see all this going on? Oh, I guess it ain't touching you and your family. I guess you just. Wow. Step back, take a breath. It's gonna be all right. And don't let go of your joy. Don't let go of it. I'm talking about authentic, genuine joy. I'm not talking about something you worked up. I'm not talking about something that was drug induced. That does not last. It may come with a headache or other issues as well. I want you to be poised and ready to embrace joy in every situation. The Apostle Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always, Mother Mabin tells us. Always. And in case you didn't get it the first time, he repeats, and again I say, rejoice. This is extremely important. It's that same Paul who said in his letter to the Romans that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He said this is important. Don't overlook this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, very much like the scripture, same author there, where we are to thank God and be thankful in all things. We pointed out in an earlier session that doesn't say be thankful for everything. There's some stuff you're just not thankful for. It's bad. I'm not thankful for coronavirus. Y'all can judge me on that one. Go ahead. I'm not thankful for it. But I'm thankful in it. And so he says, rejoice where? In the Lord. Always. I don't have to rejoice in that situation. I don't have to rejoice in that circumstance. But I am in the Lord, and he is in me, and I'm rejoicing in him. It's a command. You know, when a command is issued, you then have a choice. Huh. Say what, Mark? Yeah. When a command is issued, now you have a choice. You can obey or you can disobey. You can ignore it. You can go on about your business. You can say, I got a better idea. I'm going to do it my way. But when the Lord issues a command to you, as we have here in Scripture with Paul, you do well to embrace that and to say, yes, Lord, I will do that. I'm going to rejoice in you always. I'm choosing to rejoice in the Lord. I'm choosing to rejoice in the God of my salvation. I'm choosing to let the joy of God be my strength in this situation that threatens to overwhelm me otherwise. Oh, I hope I'm helping somebody a little bit today. Because the trials that you've experienced up to now, two things I want to tell you. One, you're going to have some more. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but you will have some more challenges. You know. But the other thing I want to tell you is that the fact that you are watching me now, the fact you're hearing my voice today, says you already got through those. You made it. You made it. There are hundreds of thousands of people who have passed on this year, but you're not one. You sitting right here. That alone should be reason to rejoice. That alone should be reason to give God some praise and to magnify his name. The old saints, when I was growing up, used to sing some wonderful songs, and one of those songs was a testimony of God's goodness. It said very simply, it's just another day that the Lord has kept me. He's kept me from all evil with my mind stayed on him. Saints, it's just another day that the Lord has kept me. And so I choose joy, Pastor Carol. I choose joy. I choose to embrace that not so secret secret that he has made available to me. Knowing that in it is my strength, that as I begin to rejoice in him, a strength like no other reaches to me. Glory to God. You say, I begin to feel my help coming. I think I can make it another day. I think I can get through this thing. I think I can be successful. I think I can run on and see what the end's going to be. I must be feeling the ancestors today, Pastor. Hey, hallelujah. God is here for us. He's here for us. And I want to challenge you today as we wind to a close for this particular segment. I want to challenge you today to disengage the resistors to joy. Disengage the resistors to joy. Is there a blockage? You know, sometimes after winter is over and the sun begins to warm the earth a bit and the grass is growing and it's springtime, you go to the garage and you pull out that old hose. You attach that hose to the faucet and you say, I'm going to water the grass today. And you turn that faucet on and nothing happens on the other end of that hose. And you say, what in the world? And you look and you see that there's a kink, a knot, maybe several of them, in that old hose that's been in the garage all winter. And you must first untangle. You must relieve that hose of the resistance for the flow. I'm talking to somebody right now. For the flow to occur, you got to get the resistors out the way. Sometimes we have some joy resistors in our lives. Sometimes they're outside of us, but I'm talking about the ones that are in. You got to get those resistors out of the way. Knowing that it is God's plan and intention for you to experience joy. Don't get hung up on the trick of the enemy there that you ain't supposed to be happy. Can't nobody be happy all the time. You know, you get me? Well, maybe you can't be happy all the time, but you can have the joy of the Lord continuously.
All right.
Are you a kingdom citizen?
Yes,
then righteousness, peace, and joy are yours in abundance. In abundance, they are yours. You must choose joy. You must embrace joy. Listen, I want to tell you in the closing moments today that Jesus himself intends for you to experience joy. He absolutely does intend for you to experience joy. It is his will that you experience joy. How do I know that? He said so. He made it very plain. In John, the 14th chapter, and we'll leave you with this today. In John, the 14th chapter, he tells us that, as he's talking to his disciples here, and by extension to us, that everything that he has said to them, all the words that he has shared with them, are for them to experience his joy. Now, not like the world has joy. I told you again, not some self-induced or drug-induced situation, but I'm talking about the joy of Jesus himself. It is that joy that he wants you to experience. It is that joy that is to be your portion. It is that joy that is to be inside you. I want you to understand, Lord, I got to quit today. But Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. Don't be looking for the kingdom out there when it's in here. Are you going to be off track real quick? I want you to understand that because the kingdom of God is eternal and internal, your joy is to be likewise an internal one. It's not to be accessed from out here. Now, yeah, there's some stuff out there that can give you a smile, make you happy for a minute, but I'm talking again about the joy of Jesus. That is to be an internal situation. It is not dependent. I'm not trying to get ahead of myself here, but it's not dependent on out there. It's not dependent on out there. I think I told you John 14. It's John 15, actually. 15:11. I've told you this. These words have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full and complete. It's not out there. It's in here. We're going to talk a little more about this, maybe a lot more about it over the next few weeks, but I want you to understand that joy is your portion. It is part and parcel of the kingdom that you are now a citizen of. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. My God, today. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. It's joy unspeakable, full of glory. So, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We're going to be talking more in the coming weeks about this not-so-secret secret of joy. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.